delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought lots of corn for popping. The lights are way down low, so let it snow, let it snow, let it snow,
let it snow.
When we finally say goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll only hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. Long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
What is wrong with you? Oh no, he's got a fever. That's it. Cancel Christmas. Santa, you gotta deliver the presents. Oh, what am I gonna do? Ooh, I have an idea. In sync.
What you talking about, Gary?
Christmas, happy holiday.
we have had.
Oh,
give him the praise. Give him the glory.
Do you want more? How much are you going to pay me, sir? One, two, three, and
joy, unspeakable joy, all the flowing well, goes on and again.
Joy, say!
Joy, unspeakable joy, rises in my soul.
Never let me go!
Never let me go!
And we say joy!
Single week right here in the middle of this cornfield. We have people watching the telecast, watching live stream. We want to say we love you. Thank you for being part of our family. We love. Can we give our live stream family a big hand clap this morning? Let me tell you one of the goals that we have.
No, I gotta make
sure. And his Tabernacle Family Church, and I like pushing goals forward. And that is, I'm believing God for 1,000 per service on a Sunday morning. And this isn't 1,000. We're believing God for 1,000 between the children's ministry and the adult ministry. And I'm believing the Lord that you just get a taste of what it's like to worship in a larger group of people. You know, a lot of folks say to me, Pastor, I only like small churches. And you know, that's cool. That's fine. You only like small churches. But you got to remember that if you are always a small church, that it's a church that's lost its purpose and vision. That Jesus the Messiah did not come to build a small church. He came to build the kingdom of God. Amen? And when souls get saved in your church, that means your church grows. And we all want God's kingdom to grow. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So you might like a small church to start with, but you got to grow into your feet. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Because if the church is seeing souls saved, it can't stay small. We've got to grow. Amen? We got to reach the lost for Jesus. Now, I want to also welcome all of the guests. Maybe you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle Family Church. If you are, can you just wave your hand? We're not going to do anything weird, but we just want to celebrate you. If you're a first-time guest, I see hands pointed. This poor guy. Dude, I'm so sorry. You know what I mean? Anybody else? First-time guest. Very good. Very good. First-time guests all over. Can you give them all a hand clap? You're a first-time guest? Thank you so much. Oh, you have a first-time guest. You're going to go get them. We could sacrifice them at the altar before the Lord. Amen. God is so faithful. And again, we are just so blessed that you're here. Can we welcome my beautiful wife, Rhonda, as she receives the offering this evening?
Welcome. We are entering into our time of tithes and offerings, and we have already started honoring God by the fact of being in this place this morning. So our honor has already begun. We gave out several weeks ago. We started giving out giving envelopes with a nice bow on them. If you did not yet get a giving envelope, if you could raise your hands, the ushers are prepared to get you an envelope. We want today to give our best to the King. And again, we've already begun. We've already prepared in our hearts what we want to give to our King. And so this morning, we are going to honor him with our gifts. Just like in the Bible, the wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And as Pastor shared with us last night, he discovered in Bible college that, you know, the whole nativity and all the plays that you grew up listening to with the manger scene and the Christmas story, the wise men show up at the stable. Well, that is doctrinally wrong. That is not what the Bible says, actually. So when you go and read it, they weren't at the stable. They came along 2 years later in a house and brought him gifts. But you know what the most exciting part about that is? At that time, the king had found out that there was another king that was born, and he became enraged, and he knew that the child was under two years old. So every boy under 2 years old was going to be killed to get rid of this king. But the gifts that the wise men brought funded the escape of the king. It funded him being able to carry out his plan, his purpose, and it furthered the kingdom of God. Just like our gifts today for the king will further his kingdom, will continue to save the word and bring it to the world. So it is exciting today to be able to give our gifts of gold, frankincense, and more, our treasures, to our king to further his kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And his will is that no one should perish, but everyone should hear the good news. Everyone should come to know Jesus. So if you'll stand to your feet, I want us to sing first with offering gift in hand. My hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it. So with our gifts, let's worship him this morning before we bring them. Pastor Johnson.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Sing it out. It's an easy, simple song.
My hallelujah says,
my hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
You deserve it, say,
you deserve it. You deserve it.
There's no one who deserves it more than Jesus. Amen. So this morning, as you bring your offering, for those who are guests, you're not sure what's happening, we always bring our offerings to the Lord. And so if you'd like to, we have buckets here in the front, offering on buckets here in the front, and also in the middle. So we just want to encourage you, give to Jesus. Remember, you're not giving to a church. You're not giving to a religion. You're not giving to a preacher. You're giving to Jesus. Amen? So come give your offerings to the Lord Jesus Christ and honor him this morning. If you're watching by live stream, we want to encourage you as well. There's a giving button right there. And I challenge you to give your greatest gift to the Messiah that you have ever given. I know that God will bless you. How do I know that? Because as you give, the principle is always that he will bring back a harvest in your life. Make sure you meet somebody in the offering line. Say, good morning, my name is... Have all the children that are in the choir, if you'll please make your way to the front now. All the children in the choir, make your way to the front. All the children in the choir, if you'll make your way to the front. Hi. We had a great crowd of children last night. More, they're all, look at them all. Come on. Come on, children. Come on, come right up on top. There you go. It's time to sing. You're too old. I love you, Heath. All the children, make your way to the altar. Here we go. We're going to have the children sing this morning. Hi, everybody. Are you ready to sing real loud for Jesus? Dude, you still look great. Don't you love it when the kids sing? Woo! I love the kids. They're the best. Hi, Brother Kenny. You can't stay up there. You're too old. Aww. Sophia wants to be up here. Come here, Sophia. Grampy. Bampy will hold you while you sing. Or Mammy's going to hold you. No, Bampy.
You ready? We're going to sing.
Our little princess.
One, two, one, two, one, two. One, two. He's not going to jump. One, two, one, two. One, two, one, two. We'll get this. One, two. This guy is very special to me. He's not shy, so I'm sorry.
Wasn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. It's so exciting watching the next generation, watching them worship. You know, we keep telling everybody, it's a simple principle. What we want the church to be in 10 years, we have to train them to be. Amen? They're Holy Ghost-filled young men and women who believe in the power of Jesus. That's who they are. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're excited as we're continuing to move forward. We have a tremendous skit available. So are you ready to hear what God's going to speak to you through the skit? Praise the Lord. Pastor Johnson and his team have done such a phenomenal job. Can we give them a hand clap this morning and say thank you? Next year, they're going to be doing a large production, and it'll be held 3 nights, as well as we're going to be having, my goal is to have a live nativity, of course, with camels. You got to have camels. Can I hear an amen? Outdoors, having a full live nativity outdoors with camels. And I don't know, maybe we should bring in an elephant. I know there was no elephant at the birth of Jesus, but you just never know. You kind of need an elephant sometimes. So can we give a hand clap to Pastor Johnson? Pastor Johnson, as he comes, introduces the play.
Praise the Lord, everybody. All right, let's try that one more time. Praise the Lord, everybody. All right. Listen. One of the things that I'm very big on is acknowledging people that help out. And I am not a person that likes a whole lot of attention. I like to be recognized, like, oh, good job. But I like to recognize the people that work with me. And I think one of the things that we must understand is that any leader that does not recognize the people that works with them is not a good leader. This is no reflection on anyone. So I have to say this. One of the things we say at this church in our theme or in our motto is we save souls, love God. You sure save souls? And what is the third one? Develop leaders. So that's so. Let's talk about develop leaders, which is 1/3 of that, developing leaders. And when I came to this ministry, there were a plethora of things happening, but I'm here to tell you today that there's a young lady from your church amongst the population who helped put this all together, who literally wrote the actual words. It's not ad-libbing. She went home. We gave her an assignment. I said, I'm going to trust you. We prayed over her, and guess what? Within maybe not even 24 hours, maybe 10 hours, she wrote it and hit me around sometime early the next morning, Saturday morning, says, Pastor, it's done. Glennise Pill, could you come here? She don't like this. Give it up for Glenn. She wrote this whole thing. Stand here. They hate it, but they were with me every step of the way, meeting at Starbucks and meeting at various places. There's another person who I want you to recognize because I'm telling you all these people. We're developing leaders. She has a lot of mouth, but we love her. But she's the administrative piece to this. The first time I met her, I mean, I didn't know her from a can of paint. The first time I met her, she said to me, well, who are you? And da 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 da. And I was like, the first thing I said to her, I said, where's your husband? Because you're talking out of turn. I don't want to disrespect him. And so when I found out some things, I began to talk immediate trash to her. But she's like a sister to me. Melissa G. Wise, could you step out real quick? Melissa, come on out. It's like a sister. Listen, no lie. From everything that you see on this stage, and they have to be celebrated, and just give us this moment, from choosing the walls, the pictures, the furniture, and everything, they were there every step of the way, and we just appreciate it. They don't have an idea what I'm going to do for them later on, but it's going to be something that's going to bless their hearts, but we can't do it here. So we just wanted to just recognize them in front of you all and say, hey, when you see them, pat them on the back and say, good job, all right? Now get back to your area so we can act. All right. Now we're ready. On today, we're going to take a particular look at a certain pericope of Scripture where an angel by the name of Gabriel shows up and he drops a word into a young virgin's life that will change her life forever, but also change the course of the world. It is not stated in Scripture what the angel may have encountered on his way back to heaven. So from an eisegetical standpoint, Pastor, you know what that is. Okay. We're going to peer into a perhaps or possibility of what took place in heaven as Gabriel shared the news with angels that a mere virgin, someone who is unproven to man, is going to birth this new thing called Jesus, or this new revolution called Jesus. So what did the angels possibly say? Let's take a look into Gabriel's report.
Oh, Sam, it has been so long since you've been gone. Just sometimes it just seems like yesterday, especially this time of year when I'm taking out our nativity, I'm setting it all up. It's kind of hurtful that no one comes home anymore. They've all grown, they've all gone their own ways. But this was our tradition too, Sam, so I keep it going for us. But let's hope we can get somebody else to carry it on. I don't know. I look at this and I remember when you used to lovingly take every piece and fix things that were broken. Oh, Sam, I remember. This was our very favorite thing.
Wham!
Josh, you are going to give me a heart attack one day. You really are. Remember, I'm old.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Sweet, so I'm here like I said I would be.
I know, and where? Most of the decorations are still up in the attic,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Well,
but I did manage to bring the nativity scene down for us. And I tried to get it all unboxed so that it would be here when you were coming.
Yeah.
But these old hands, they just don't work so well anymore.
Yeah, speaking of old, I mean, look at this thing. It's like an antique.
Oh,
I mean,
beautiful.
They don't make them like this anymore.
No, they do not.
Craftsmanship is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how old is this?
Ooh, let me think. It's going to be 41 years old this Christmas.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
I know. It's wonderful. Grandpa and I got this when we went to Colorado, when a vacation back in the Stone Ages. And I saw it, and when I saw it, it was like I fell in love with it immediately, and I had to have it. But Grandpa, you know Grandpa. No, it's too expensive.
Right.
No, there's other bills to pay.
Sounds like Grandpa.
Yeah. But you know, I said, you know though, Sam, sometimes you just need to invest in something that you can treasure and bring home and pass down year after year and start
Absolutely.
Traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I dug my heels in and I said I wasn't leaving Colorado without it.
Bam.
As you can see, I got my way.
Right.
Yeah. It was nice. And
wow.
And it did become our favorite thing over the years. Your mom would tell her story, and then Grandpa would read from the Bible, and our season would start. It would be wonderful.
My mom? You said my mom did something like this every single year?
Oh, this was her favorite thing. She could have cared less about the tree and the stockings and all the rest of it.
What?
Yeah.
No way. She never mentioned doing anything like this, ever.
Oh, that breaks my heart. Because this was her favorite thing. She would unbox it all, and it was just wonderful. And she would just take it, and then she'd tell her story.
A story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
do you remember that story?
Oh, Josh, I'll never forget the angel story as long as I live, because it was the same story every single year.
Let's hear it, Graham.
Okay. Once upon a time, there were three angels in heaven waiting for Gabriel to get back from delivering the news to Mary that she was going to give birth to the Christ child.
look, get over it. It is happening, all right? You know, it's not like her to be late. I hope nothing went wrong. Oh, wait a second. I think I see her. Yeah, that's her. Come here, listen. You know how she gets about these things.
Okay.
She'll tell us when she's ready.
Okay.
So please, just act natural.
Okay, we can ask natural.
Girl.
How's it going?
Hey. Yes, just acting natural. All natural. Yes. Oh. Well, out with it. Took you long enough to get back. What'd she say?
Good job. Real natural.
Well, I stayed over there for a minute. I acted natural. I'm just asking what we all want to know. Well, what'd she say? Will she do it?
She said... she'll do it.
Yes. She said she'll do it.
No,
she's going to do it.
Not good.
No, it's not good. This is awesome. Okay, so, I mean, is she like a special person? Or who is she?
No, you know, she's really not. In fact, she seemed kind of human.
Great. We all know that nothing good ever comes from humanity.
Yeah, but I mean, Gabriel, she's got to be like a special human though, right? Like royalty or a princess. I mean, she is carrying the King of Kings. Tell her, Gabriel. She's a princess.
Nope. She's not that either.
Oh.
She's a regular girl. Really, rather basic.
Now, there's a surprise.
Yeah, but if she's just basic, then how'd you get her to take the job?
Yeah, I'd like to hear this one, because we all know that humans never want to help.
Actually, it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. You see, when God first told me what he wanted me to do, I'll admit I had some doubts. But with great love in his voice, he told me to seek out the young girl named Mary and tell her of his wonderful plans for her. So off I went. I took a great big deep breath in, set my jaw, and I gently appeared before her. You gotta be really careful about these things, you know. You're never quite sure how humans are gonna react to an angel encounter.
Tell me about it. Like that time where God had me appear to Gideon?
Girl, that time your gown looked
hey,
fabulous.
Knock it off. All right? I'd like to hear what she has to say. Thank you.
He shut us down.
Just like I was told, I called her by name. And I told her that she was going to have a baby, and she would name him Jesus. He would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and man's very source of salvation from sin.
Gabriel, that's a lot to put on a human. How did she take all of that?
It was just as I expected. At first, she was scared. I mean, not just of me, but of the news that I brought to her. But the more we started to talk, I saw something begin to change in her. It was like a peace that just came over her. And she simply said that if this is what God wanted her to do, that she knew that God would give her the strength to do it. Hey, even you've got to admit, it's pretty good for a young girl.
Look, I still think this whole thing is a really bad idea.
Look, give her a break already, would you? She is human.
He don't want to hear you. Zip it.
As I looked into those eyes of hers, something began to happen. It was like a happiness that just welled up inside of her. And I just knew that this whole thing just might work out after all. Hey. You never know. Maybe she's humanity's bright spot.
Don't kid yourself. We all know that mankind doesn't deserve an honor like this. What have they ever done but cause the Father grief? It just doesn't make any sense. If he has to go down there, like has to go, then we should take him. Think about it. We could descend to earth and we could all sing, Hallelujah, and all of creation would know that the Savior has come. That's it. We have got to convince him that going down there is a baby. It's just, it's all wrong.
Pause. Hashtag no.
So
you're telling me you're going to walk up to the Heavenly Father, creator of all heaven and earth, and say, God, I know you don't make mistakes, but this whole infant king thing is a bit of a bad idea. I know you're God. I know you don't make mistakes, but this is your first. Good luck with that, girlfriend.
Okay, when you put it that way, maybe it's not my best idea.
No.
Okay, but think about it. None of us even knew this was possible until a few days ago. But can any of you tell me why? Why does he feel the need to go down there and take the form of common man? I mean, look around. This is heaven. It's the place of eternal joy and peace. This is where God is. So why, in heaven's name, would he want to go down to that dirty, smelly, nasty, ungodly, unholy place and take the form of common man?
Just stop. Angels don't talk like this.
You know, I'd hate to admit this, like really, really hate to admit this, but I think she has a point.
See?
Can you tell us why, Gabriel?
Yes, I think that I can.
You can?
Yes, you see, God told me that the reason he's descending down on earth in form of a man is because...
Because?
Yes?
He wants to.
He wants to? But... Oh. Why?
Because God loves his people so much that he wants to give them the most incredible gift imaginable. Think about it, will you? God can imagine some pretty incredible things. I mean, he did make us, and we are pretty incredible.
Well, you know, you're a pretty good girl.
You see, God decided to send his one and only son as the single most incredible gift to each and every person who will ever live on this earth.
Wow, you guys, when Gabriel puts it like that, I mean, God must really love them.
Yes, he does love them.
Okay, but do you think that they realize that?
Not a chance.
Only the Father knows for sure. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Come on, let's get ready.
I have to go and tell Mary's fiancé.
Fiancé?
What?
Oh,
She's not even married?
This is not happening.
Gabriel, how is this supposed to work? You didn't even say she wasn't married. Fiancé?
That was it. That was the story that your mom told every single year.
She had an imagination.
Did she ever?
Did she have one for Joseph too?
You know, I think if we'd have let her go, that imagination of hers would have taken us all through heaven. But we kind of brought her back down to earth,
right.
And then we would all just sit around. Grandpa would tell the story, and then our season could begin. It was nice.
Wow, man. So how come no one still does this tradition, though?
Well, your mom grew up and moved away from home. Your uncles, they moved away from home.
Right.
And no one comes home for Christmas anymore. So I guess it just kind of fell by the wayside. But I do it every year. I get out the nativity scene. I get it all set up. I talk to Grandpa. I read the story. And I still have the tradition here.
That's awesome. Well, you know what, Graham? I'm going to be here this year for Christmas. And I'd love to at least learn the tradition so that way I can carry it on. Do you mind going through with me at least just once?
No, I'd love to. I'm excited. Okay, so you get all your figures, you know, where you want them, and you set them up and how you think it would look in the manger.
Yep.
And then you take your Bible, and you're going to open it to the second chapter of Luke, and you're going to read the story. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out of their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And that was it. That was our beginning. That was our tradition. And now our season can start because Christ is the reason for this season. So, do you have a church?
No, me and my wife have a church.
Okay. So, you want to start this tradition, and I'm very excited that you do. So, I want you to come with me to church. Would you do that? You and
Absolutely.
Your wife?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. So, Sunday morning is Christmas morning. So, you come with me to church, and you are going to find the Holy Spirit there, and it's going to wash all over you. And Jesus will come in your heart, Josh. And it won't be just for this season. It's going to be all year long. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, Jesus will be with you. So I want you to come with me, okay?
Alrighty.
Okay. I will see you Sunday morning, bright and early. Bye, hon.
Bye.
Drive careful.
All right, I will.
Watch out for deer and pedestrians and ice and all that other stuff.
All right, see you, Graham.
Bye. There you go, Sam. Thank you. We got one. We did good. Anything.
Wasn't that amazing? You know, there are traditions that you need to keep going in your home, and that is perpetuating Christ with your children. Amen. We wanted to just let you know there are, I know many of you are going home and you're going to be giving gifts and or stocking stuffers. We have just a few left. I believe we only have like 3 devotionals left. And my wife's new book, that No More Hurt, would be an amazing tool to put in one of your loved ones' stocking or a gift for them so that God can heal their heart. We want to let you know we had those available for you in the foyer. Today we're going to end. It's just going to be a few more minutes because I promised to keep it at about an hour. I have about a minute and a half. I want you to say this with me out loud. The 3 L's. Think about that. 3 L's. That's what the whole birth of Jesus was all about. The very first one was legal. Everybody shout legal. Do you realize that the Bible makes a declaration that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins? You see, Jesus came because there was a cost that had to be paid for sin. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." You see, all of us are in a position because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one person, not one human on this earth that has not sinned. The Bible says in 1 John that if we say we have not sinned, then we're liars. You see, every one of us have committed sin. And the challenging part about that with God the Father is he so longs and loves us. But the problem is that when there's sin in the way, that God cannot have sin in his presence. You see, every single person that has ever sinned, there is a distance between you and God. There is a cavern between you and the Lord. Because God cannot have sin in his presence, he had to have something happen. And it's called legal. You see, Christ Jesus came because legally there had to be somebody who paid the price for sin. Those who do not know Jesus as their Savior, and this is why it's so sad, those who don't know Christ as their Savior, and I'm not talking about religion or tradition, but they have never accepted Christ into their life. Those individuals are in a position to have to pay for sin themselves. But God so loved us that he sent his son, Christ Jesus, so that Jesus would pay the price that we should have paid for our sin. He took it all on himself. Jesus, the Son of God, came as a babe. Why as a babe? Because he had to be a human that learned, that lived, that grew, so that he would be a Messiah that would understand all the things that we're going through. You see, Jesus, he became that legal price, that redemption to pay for our sin. So many of us just look at Christ as that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and that is beautiful. But when you actually look at him for what he represented in the first L, he was that legal payment for what you and I have committed called sin. And when God looks at the Christ child, when God looked at his son who gave his all, when God looked at the one who paid the price when he died on Calvary's tree and rose again on the third day, when God looks at him, he said, there's been a price that's been paid, and therefore those who call upon my name can now be saved. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the tree. He took upon himself the curse for all of our wrongdoing, for it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who's hung on the tree. You see, today, the second L is called love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We see it at football games. We've heard people quote it, and pretty much in every church you've ever gone to, you've heard it said. But you see, the reason that Jesus came was to pay that legal price. But the reason he was willing to pay the legal price is because he loves you. How many of you have made a mess of your life at least once or twice? How many of you have sinned once, twice, three times a lady? Every one of us in this room, man, we've all sinned. But God so loved us. God so loves you. You see, God doesn't love you when you clean yourself up. He loves you even in the midst of your mess. In fact, what's amazing is God cannot love you any more today than he did when you were lost and dying in your sin. God doesn't love you any more today than he does that beggar that's down, sitting on the street corner, who's barely knowing who they are as they're all liquored up. You see, God loves every one of us the same. He desires you and I to know that love that he has. You see, the Bible declares in 1 John that God is love. So the first L is legal. The Messiah came, Christ came to pay that legal price. The second one is love, and the third one is longing. Do you remember when you saw that girl? You know, you guys, you saw that girl and your heart started beating. You got on the phone, you were on the phone, you were calling her, and if you're a little bit older, you weren't texting, but maybe you were texting her and letting her know that you loved her and you wanted to hang out with her and be around her. Man, you couldn't wait to be in her presence. There was a longing in your heart. You see, God not only wanted to pay a legal price so that you could be redeemed from the curse of the law. He not only did it because he loves you, but now we need to grasp this, that there is a longing from the heart of the Father that he wills that not one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our church world has lost the edge, and they've gone into some lies, and that is that everybody goes to heaven. It's not true. Only those who have adopted and received the legal payment that Christ paid can go to heaven. You see, we can't because we choose not to. Today, there's a message that is so powerful. It's called the good news, and that is that God paid the legal price so that you don't have to be lost. God gave you all the love that you and I could ever receive, and God so desires and longs for you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He longs that you will know him, not just know about him, not just become part of a religion or tradition, but to literally know him and walk with him like Adam and Eve did in the garden. God longs for you. He's calling you. He's drawing you. Even this morning, many of you who are away from God, whether backslidden or maybe never received him in your heart, you're feeling a tug by the Holy Ghost. That's God's longing for you. You did not choose me, God said, but I chose you. You see, today, God so loves you. God so longs for you. that he sent his only begotten son to pay the price so you don't have to. I've heard people say to me, oh, pastor, how could such a loving God send anybody to hell? And I look at him and say, what are you talking about? God sends no one to hell. God disbands nobody to hell. What do you mean, pastor? God paid the legal price. God gave all the love that he could give. And God's longing is that drawing to call you to himself. And today, this is why we celebrate the Christ child. Not because of a tree or the presents that we get, although I did get an echo. It's a very good present. We celebrate this moment because the three L's were accomplished so that not one of us have to wonder what happens when we die. Not one of us have to be in the position of wondering if we're going to go to heaven. Not one of us have to be in the position of wondering if God loves us. Not one of us have to be in the position of wondering if I'm important and have purpose and destiny. God so passionately loves you. God so desperately loves you that he paid the price with his only begotten son. The Christ child, the Messiah, came so that you and I could know him. And today, that's why we celebrate Christmas. Because he loves you. You know, today I don't know where you stand with God, but the greatest present that God really desires is you could put $10 billion in the offering plate and still be lost. What God wants is you. God longs for you. Oh, but pastor, you don't know my life? You don't know how messed up I am? Oh, listen, you don't know how messed up we all are. And it doesn't matter if you've only sinned once. You still need someone to pay the legal price to wash your sins away. So everyone in this room is a candidate to know Christ. Every one of us qualify. Because every one of us without Jesus are lost. Amen. So many say, well, this is about joining a church. It's not about joining a church. You don't need to go to church to go to heaven. You need to go to church to grow up and fulfill your destiny. But God's plan is that you know him. And today I want to introduce to you, if you don't know him, I want you to know him. You see, that's the greatest gift you can give him this morning is your life. It's your life. That's what he's after. If he has your life, he has everything else. And I've got great news for you. If you give him your life, he'll make sense out of the chaos. He'll heal your heart and your mind. He'll do what's called salvation. Not only save you from your sin, but heal your mind, your spirit, your soul, and your body. God wants you to be a whole person. And so many people are walking around wounded. Jesus came to save you from yourself. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to give you an opportunity this morning. Last night when we gave the altar call, people came to the altar, gave their hearts to Christ, the greatest present. Today, maybe you're in a backslidden condition. Maybe you once served Jesus with all of your heart. Now, you know that if the trumpet sounded, you'd be lost. You have so many other things in front of him. Today, you need to give your heart back to Christ. Maybe you've never received him in your life. Maybe you've never been in church. Maybe somebody, they did that deer thing. You know, they tied you on the roof and got you to come today. You're sitting here today, but you feel that tugging by God. That's God longing for you, calling you to himself. Today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you would like to receive Jesus, I'm not talking join a church or join a religion, but you'd like to receive Jesus Christ. You'd love to give yourself as your present to Jesus this morning. You'd love to receive him. I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room that would like to receive Jesus as their personal Savior? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, 3. Get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I see the little girl right there. Amen. Let the little children lead. Amen. Not going to wait long. Last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet. Today, as we're getting ready to go home to be with our families and get around the tree and see what somebody's blessed us with. You know, I know it says it's more better to give than to receive, but I don't know, sometimes it's really fun to receive too. Today you're going to be blessed We want you to know that the greatest blessing that you can do, start a tradition, and that is this. Open up the book of Luke and read to your family before you open the gifts. Amen. Father, I just speak blessing, Lord, on this beautiful day. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence on Christmas morning to declare you as Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I release blessing right now in Jesus' name. God, I declare in the name of Jesus that not one should be lost. The devil can't have one soul that's within the shot of my voice. In fact, why don't you all pray with me right out loud? Dear Jesus, come on, right out loud, all of us together. Dear Jesus, I give myself as the greatest Christmas present that I could ever give. I ask you, Jesus, to receive my life. Thank you for paying the price. Thank you for loving me when many times I've been unlovely. Thank you for calling me to yourself. Today, Jesus, I surrender and I place myself under the tree and declare I'm all yours. Wash my sins away. Make me a new man, new woman. I'm never going back. There's nothing this world has to offer that's greater than the gift that Father God has given me to know my eternity and to walk with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I hear you give Jesus a great hand clap this morning? Amen. I apologize. We've gone 12 minutes over. But I know there are folks that raised their hands for salvation. If you'll come right over on this side, we'd love to make sure that you get a Bible. If you maybe didn't raise your hand, but you want a Bible and you just want God to know that you love him, maybe you're rededicating life, come right over on this side. Everybody else, so much enjoy your family. Make sure you share Jesus, why he's here with the folks that are around you that don't know him. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. We'll see you next year.